When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's never been easier to communicate with people, but it's never been harder to know which platform you're supposed to communicate on. Here's a simpler solution. With call, meet, and message all in one app, RingCentral makes communication easy.
With all that connectivity in the palm of your hand, you can work from anywhere, with anyone, at any time, and never miss a beat. Because when it comes to communication, simple is better. Learn more at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, simpler communications.
What is going on, Belly Up Sports fam? It's your favorite history teacher, Mr. Parker Ainsworth, here in another edition of FN Sports, the podcast where teachers grade sports' biggest issues. And today, we have another NFL division preview. Now we're going to be doing the NFC North with Green Bay Packers superfan, host of the Sports Stove podcast, EKU, crazy? I don't know what I'm going to call it. Anyway, Eastern Kentucky University specialist, Vince Stover. So without further ado, let's jump on in. And we are joined by Vince Stover of the Sports Stove podcast, EKU fame. How we doing, Vince?
I'm doing great, Parker. Good to be on. I love football season. I'm so excited it's here. This is awesome.
It is here. We're previewing each division. We're going through each division by division and breaking down all four teams in each one. Vince, you're a Packers fan, and I got to ask, Kentucky guy, BBN, EKU guy, Green Bay's a long way away from Kentucky. How did that happen?
All right. So my dad grew up in Illinois. He was an only child. His dad passed away when he was two. So it was just him and his mom growing up. So when it came to sports, dad just kind of, it was whoever was kind of big at that time. And growing up, it was Vince Lombardi, Bart Starr. So he was a Packer fan. I'm named after Vince Lombardi. I have a son named Brett. So we're dialed into it when it comes to the Packer stuff. My dad is a minority owner of the Green Bay Packers. So we're all in on it. It's just, you know, dad loved the Packers, and I grew up when I was young, you know, the Panthers and the Jaguars came around. I don't know. I was 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that range. And I kind of started cheering for them a little bit, but I just always kind of stuck with the Packers. And of course, once Brett Favre came along, there was plenty to cheer for, so it was easy to stick around.
So you're named Vince, your son is named Brett. Do you have like a dog named Aaron, or is that like pesky cat come around? Is that name like McCarthy?
The dog's name is Crosby, after right. Mason Crosby, the kicker. Now I have another dog and I have another son who have no Packer ties to their names. Nonetheless. Yeah. So the first dog was named Crosby after Mason Crosby.
gotcha. doing our previews here. We're doing what grade we think the team will have at the end of the season. We're going to go top to bottom for the way they finished last year with your Green Bay Packers. They had a great season last season, another Aaron Rodgers MVP kind of season, 13-4, Offense looked electric all year. And then they got to the playoffs in Lambeau and the weather got in their way. Maybe if they put a roof on that thing, things would work better. I don't know. So my question for you, Vince, is what grade do you think the Packers will have at the end of the season? What grade are they looking to get?
I'm going to say B plus. You have the question marks, right, with the receivers especially. The defense should be outstanding. I mean, we're talking top of the league defense this year. They have fallen short in the playoffs the last several years, but they've won at least 13 games every season with LaFleur as the coach. So I think there's going to be a little bit to work through early in the season with Rodgers not playing in the preseason, learning the new receivers, all that kind of stuff. But they have stud running backs and a stud defense. So I think they're going to be okay. They're running out of time to win the Super Bowl again. So they need to make it happen quick. I'm not sure if they're that team yet this year or not, just because they don't have the playmakers. But I love the defense, man. And when you talk about defense winning championships, this gives them as good a chance since they've had, you know, back in the day, back when they won their last two Super Bowls with guys like Charles Woodson, Clay Matthews, Reggie White before that, Leroy Butler. So they're, you know, this is a really, really good defense.
So let's go through. You mentioned some of the previous stars. Like, who would be getting gold stars for Mr. Stover's class here? Like what defenders are you really trying to keep your eye on?
Kenny Clark's where you have to start with. He's on the defensive line. He's incredible. Jair Alexander, he was hurt a lot last year. He's a phenomenal defensive back. Maybe the best corner or top, let's say he's top three corners in the NFL right now if he stays healthy. And the defensive crew with Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage are both really good too. Rashawn Gary made a big step up last year as an edge rusher, so much so that they were fine with letting Za'Darius Smith walk away to Minnesota. Preston Smith is solid. They're shallow on the edge rushers, but the guys they have up front are really good. The front sevens, again, health is everything, right? But the front seven is phenomenal. The defensive backs are deep and young at the same time. But Kenny Clark, Jair Alexander are probably the two guys you have to look at and say, man, they're both of them are top three at their position.
So I know Jair Alexander is really good because he's a Louisville guy and you're giving him credit. that's how I know he's really good. You mentioned some key departures on defense. Everyone in America knows the biggest departure was losing a guy that catches the ball a lot, right? Devonta Adams is no longer in town. The receiving core is completely flipped over. I guess it looks they got Randall Cobb back, I guess, right? He's a familiar face, but otherwise, like, Sammy Watkins, NFL fans might know, but he hadn't spent a whole lot of time in Green Bay. I'm looking up and down the roster, like, trying to pick out pass catchers, like, oh, I think I remember that guy from college or someone. He played at Clemson, right, or whatever. So Aaron Rodgers, for all of his faults, is a very good quarterback. Who's catching the ball?
Alan Lazard is the guy. Outside of Packer fans, most people don't seem to understand how good Alan Lazard is. And Aaron Rodgers has loved – the reason why Alan Lazard is on the team is because Aaron Rodgers loved him in camp a few years back. He stuck around. He's big. He can go up and get the ball. He's not the athlete. He's not the route runner that Devontae was, but he's going to get his fair share of catches this year and I think his fair share of touchdowns too. I'm not a Sammy Watkins guy. I don't hate him. I don't trust him at this point. And Randall Cobb, as much as I love Randall Cobb, I don't want to see him on the field a ton this year. So it comes down to the rookies. Christian Watson just got the practice. He started the year on the PUP. So he just showed up for practice this week. Romeo Doubs has been the story so far at camp. Fourth round draft pick this year. He has looked, unless he's going up against Jair Alexander, he has been phenomenal. And then they put Alexander on him and he shuts him down. But everybody else, Doubs has been the guy. So you hear a lot of Packers talking about Amari Rodgers, who they drafted last year. He's the nephew or something like that of T. Martin, I think, who played at Tennessee. Of course, he played at Clemson as well. He's supposed to be that Randall Cobb type of player. And last year, it just didn't click with him. But they're saying this year, it is clicking with him, and he's catching on and whatnot. So they seem very comfortable with what they have. And as a Packer fan, I'm not too scared just because we do have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, and he can make wide receivers good. Now, that's not taking away from Devonta Adams. I think Devonta Adams is a phenomenal wide receiver. But I think Devonta Adams goes backwards a little bit this year And I'm not sure the Packers go backwards from their 13 wins.
Well, and so one interesting thing, you mentioned they've had 13 wins each year that Matt LaFleur has been the coach. He came in, and that first year especially, really wanted to run the ball. And there was like speculation, like, what does that mean for Aaron and whatever. But moving past that, we've seen it happen for 3 years now when Aaron Rodgers played MVP level, a couple of those. Who's going to be, I mean, the running game is important to LaFleur. What do you see happening in the backfield? I mean, they got A.J. Dillon on this roster, Aaron Jones. Names that you should know, like guys that have been in the league for a little while.
Yeah, Aaron Jones is going to be a top three fantasy running back. I know that's not what we're talking about today, but he's going to catch the ball out of the backfield a ton this year, and he's going to run the ball effectively as well. A.J. Dillon is a phenomenal running back. You look at him, you see his quads, you think, oh, man, he's a bruiser. And he is a bruiser, but he's athletic. I mean, he can make guys miss, and he can run over guys as well. The running game is the strength right now of this Packer offense, even though you have an MVP and Aaron Rodgers there, quarterback. The offensive line has been a little banged up, but A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones are going to get their yards. They're going to get their rushes. They're going to get their catches. And they're going to get a bunch of touchdowns this year, too. They should be the strength as long as Rodgers doesn't go rogue. The running back should be the strength of this team.
So you mentioned Rodgers going rogue, and I got to ask. You saw the picture of Rodgers strolling up into camp looking like Nick Cage. What was going through your head as a fan? Was that positive, negative?
All right, so it's relatively normal for him to come dressed up in some way, shape, or form. He's a big, big person, especially with his facial hair and different, and now his long hair too. He's big on dressing up and doing things like that. So it didn't surprise us. And I thought it was kind of cool. He looked really very, very much like Nick Cage. So I was impressed by it.
He looked like Nick Cage if Nick Cage had hit the bench press a little bit more. Like he looked, kind of, he looked strong. I was impressed.
Yeah. And actually his lower body is where he's been working out the most. I mean, he's got a really strong core. I know that sounds weird to talk about, but he does. He's kind of taking that Tom Brady approach of, hey, if I protect my body, I can be elite. And I don't think he'll play as long as Brady, because I think he has other things he wants to do, but he's taking care of his body. And unless he just takes a wild hit, he's going to be healthy.
Well, and that's the trick with this game, right? Is anyone can take a wild hit. Like, he can do everything right. You know, knock on wood. We hope that doesn't happen. We mentioned to start the Packers that if they played indoors, that playoff game might have gone differently last year. A team in this division that does play indoors, the Minnesota Vikings, finished at 8-9 last season, which is, I don't know if it's impressive because they beat up on each other, but that was good enough for second in the division. Kirk Cousins, how you like that guy, is still in charge over there. We can talk some about, you know, their running backs and their defense, those kinds of things. But first, I want to hear, what kind of grade do you think they'll have come season's end?
I think in their case, I say A minus. Because I think they pushed for the division this year. I'm not sure if they win the division, but they're a playoff team. I think they're a dangerous team this year for sure.
And so let's walk through why that is, because I think, again, you look at a team that was 8-9 a year ago, that means some major things are going to change, right? What are those things you see changing?
Head coach is where it starts at. They got a new head coach. I love first-year offensive coaches in the NFL. I always say they're going to go over on their win total. They're going to be high-octane offenses because they're going to come in with something fresh. And when they do that, it's going to work at least the first year. And then it might taper off. I mean, you go look at Matt Nagy. His first year in Chicago was a whole lot better than the rest of his years in Chicago. So so I kind of lean that way with him. I think the offense is loaded. Kirk Cousins, he's not a superstar quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, but he can play the position. He's throwing to Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen specifically. And then Dalvin Cook, who's been injured again a lot as well, as a great running back. And then they've got running back depth behind him. Alexander Mattison has been solid when he's had to play. And they drafted a fifth-round running back, Ty Chandler, who I think is going to be a phenomenal pro running back. So you look at that offense, and the offensive line is fine. It's not great. It's better than it was. They've got a lot of high draft picks on the offensive line. I love the offense in Minnesota, and I think when you look at a relatively weak division, we'll get to Detroit and Chicago in a little bit. I think they're going to be really, really good this year.
Well, and so you mentioned that their coach is coming out as an offensive guy. He spent 2 years with the Rams and a year in Washington as the OC, but he's a quarterback guy specifically. That was his position, I guess, if you go farther back in his resume. I don't know a lot about Kevin O'Connell, except that they hired him and it was like he was the Rams OC. I was like, oh, that was a good offense. I didn't know that he was there. I just kind of tied that all to McVay in my head. Yeah. Do you think Kirk Cousins can open it up in a way that, like, I'm assuming it's going to look like the stuff McVay does, and that stuff is very fast forward, very futuristic feeling, or is it going to be something more like what Washington did a few years back?
I think it's going to be a mixture of the two. I think there's going to be a lot of innovation in it. But when you got a guy like Justin Jefferson that's running the routes, I mean, you can do a lot of different things. And Cousins, he's a game manager. Maybe he's better than Alex Smith was, but he's that kind of quarterback. So he's not going to make the big mistakes unless you make him make the big mistakes, which I think was the fault of the coaching staff in the past. So I think he's going to come in and have a really solid year, and look at being, a lot of positives and very little negatives when it comes to Kirk Cousins' game this season.
Again, we've seen him have surprising seasons of past, all the way back to when he came in and filled in for Robert Griffin, right? He was like the fourth round pick that just so happened to play in front of Griffin after Griffin got hurt. They do have to play defense, though. We spent a lot of time, we could talk a whole hour on Justin Jefferson. He is that kind of good. Adam Thielen is that kind of good. But they have to play defense. And unfortunately, those guys don't get to play. I mean, I guess you could, but they don't play defense. So what are they going to do on the defense side of the ball? They got to cover Aaron Rodgers' guys.
Yeah, and they're old, which isn't usually a great thing in the defensive backfield. Patrick Patterson's there. Patrick Peterson, sorry, is there. I like Patrick Peterson, but again, he's on the backside of his career, I think. Harrison Smith seems like he's been there since I was two at safety. So, I mean, he's been there a while. They've got Daniel Hunter, who's a phenomenal edge rusher and does a great job. He's one of the better ones in the league. I like their defensive line as well. They got some tough guys up there. But, again, they're aging at linebacker. Za'Darius Smith comes over from Green Bay. He played, I think, six games last season. He's been hurt for the last two or three years with back issues. So I don't think that's great. They're also going to start a cornerback they got from Green Bay named Shandon Sullivan. And there's a reason why he's not playing at Green Bay anymore. So, I mean, there's holes in the defense. The offense is going to have to put up a fair number of points this year, I think, at least against those good teams. But, again, you're also playing guys – like Chicago and Detroit. So, you get four games right there. That helps you out as well.
No, definitely. I will say when I saw Patrick Peterson, he's played 11 years in the NFL. I was surprised it was only 11. I thought we were closer to 15. Same with Harrison Smith, I guess. They have him down for 10 on Pro Football Reference. And I thought he was on the other side of the decade and a half marker too. So you're thinking they're going to push just because the offense and the rest of the division is fairly weak. They're going to push to maybe, mess with the Packers at the top of it. We do need to dive into the other half of that division though. Last year, Chicago came in third. They're at 6-11. They're looking at a little bit different coaching staff as well. Maybe not with the same success or expectation of success. I guess we'll leave that up to you here. They went defensive minded though. What would you assume the grade will be at the end of the season for the Chicago Bears?
I've got them at a C. I think it's going to be a really bad year for Chicago. And I hate that because as much as I don't like Chicago, I love Justin Fields. They did not do anything to help Justin Fields this year. And they brought in the new staff. So that you got to give them time to grow. I don't think year one's going to be a great year for Chicago. So I'll give them a C.
Well, and so let's talk Fields first, because that is the bright spot. I think we can all sit here and say it. We've seen out of Justin Fields, whether it's at Ohio State, I guess even technically in the stuff he didn't get to play a lot at Georgia, but then in his rookie season, he shined when given the opportunity to. I think they can feel comfortable in what he's doing. They don't have to worry about, do we have to bring in Nathan Peterman or whatever? Like they're doing okay. They've got next to nothing around him. So what can then we look for? If we're just looking at just Justin Field before we get to the mess, what are we looking at there?
Man, you're just hoping he doesn't get hurt. That really is everything with him. I had him ranked as my number two quarterback coming out of the draft. Still feel pretty strongly that that's where he should be. You put him in a different situation. You put him in New York, for instance, with the Jets, and that team's a playoff team, I think, at least. But in Chicago, like you said, they've done nothing with them. So the bright spot is you want to just see them get better, right? Make quicker decisions. and stay healthy and get through this season, try to make it respectable. And then hopefully next year, if you're a Bears fan or a Bears player, hopefully next year they put some effort into the offense to give him some weapons.
Well, and so speaking of those weapons, I look at this list of receivers and tight ends, and it's not a ton of names. I mean, Equanimee St. Brown, I guess, is a name I'm a little familiar with, but he's another former Packer, right? And I think you said about someone earlier, there's a reason he's not there. N'Keal Harry, I think, you know, getting away from the pressure of Belichick might help him, but he also kind of crumbled under the pressure of Belichick. Do you see any big-time pass catchers or anyone that's hopeful along this roster, or is it really going to be Justin Fields out there on his own?
I love Velus Jones, their third-round draft pick out of Tennessee. He's going to be a starter by the end of the season. I'm not sure if he'll start to begin the season or not. Right now, they don't have him listed as a starter. He will start. He's definitely a top three receiver on this team right now. EQ St. Brown, you know, his brother is in Detroit. We'll talk about in a second. But EQ, he was good in Green Bay because he was that fifth guy that nobody was paying attention to. He's a good player, don't get me wrong, but he's not a number one wide receiver. Neither is Darnell Mooney. Neither is Byron Pringle. They don't have a one receiver. I'm not sure if they have a number two receiver outside of Jones. Now, N'Keal Harry's interesting, right? What happens getting away from New England? Does all of a sudden something click for him? Can they make something happen? He's got potential, but at some point the potential runs out. So I love Velus Jones. I'm not a huge fan of really any of the other receivers. Cole Kmet's good, right at tight end. He's a good tight end and serviceable for sure. So when you can look at pass catching, though, man, they need someone to step up big, or they need Justin Fields to be elite, where he makes someone really good.
Well, and he may be elite one day. I just think it's a big ask to ask for it to happen this fall. Yeah. To their credit, and I don't know how much credit Chicago deserves, but they did. You mentioned that third round pick, Velus Jones Jr. That was their first pick in the draft, right? So they, as early as they could, I guess they could have traded up.
Well, they had two second round picks. They went defense with both of those guys, Brisker from Penn State, the safety, and Gordon, a cornerback, I think from Washington.
Oh, I guess I got a list of offensive rookies. I was going to say they went in the third round looking like that's relatively like they just didn't have the first round pick they could go spend and get some type of big, a Garrett Wilson or they couldn't go get that guy. They could have traded up, I guess. Right. But they didn't. They have a defensive minded coach. There's a whole generation of people that cannot separate Chicago from defense because they were alive in the 80s. Is their defense going to be any good? Is there anything hopeful on that side of the ball?
Man, with Roquan Smith one now, that hurts. I love Roquan Smith. And I've said this last couple of weeks, I'd love him so much more if he wasn't on the Bears. But I was a big Roquan Smith guy coming in. And if he sticks around, that's going to help them for sure. They got Robert Quinn rushing the quarterback, and he's still good and serviceable. Their defensive backs are okay. Eddie Jackson, again, they drafted Brisker out of Penn State, who I really liked at safety as well. They're an average defense. And if they lose Roquan Smith, then they're getting closer to that sub-average defense, I think. So, you know, you think about just a couple years ago, they had Mac. Or even last year, maybe. No, I think I don't remember when they traded him, but they had Mac there for a while. Then they had Roquan Smith with them, and they were a great defense, and now they're just average at best. So I mean, that's another part of the thing. And they did some stuff on the draft day to help the defense out. They're going to start two rookies on the defense, but I just think it's a down year. And I like Eberflus, by the way. I thought it was a good hire to bring him in. I don't like the staff that he got. Was a little surprised. Thought there'd be a better hiring, especially on the offensive side. They go out and get Luke Getsy from Green Bay. He was the quarterback coach. He was not successful in college as an offensive coordinator at A&M. I'm not sure what he's going to do, you know, in the pros, and maybe in time. I just didn't think he was ready for it yet. And then you give him the talent you give him. So, it's going to be a rough year for Chicago, I think, and they will get better eventually, but it's going to take some time.
Yeah, and I just think that, you know, we'll see, is there any vision around it? Because I think we've touched on Justin Fields a couple times. Like, that's a guy you can have a vision for, but it's how do you start to play and put it around. What's wild, though, is that that's, as of last year, was not the worst team in the – I should actually pause. Well, you mentioned Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
In your opinion, because this is – we're recording before it's happened, if it's happened, is he traded? And if so – or if not, does he play? I guess
I think he gets traded. In today's day and age, it's very rare for a star player to come out and say, I want out and not get out, unless he is only saying that to get a better contract, like Deebo Samuels did. But it doesn't seem like that's what the situation is here. I think he realizes this is a rebuild and he doesn't want to be a part of it. So I think ultimately he gets moved, and they should be able to get a decent value for him. So they should be able to get a return for him. And I kind of I'm of the philosophy, trade a guy while he's got value, get as much out of him as you can. And Roquan Smith is not going to be the difference maker for Chicago this year. So if you can trade him and get a receiver and draft picks, I mean, go out and do it. That'd be my thoughts on it, at least.
Well, and we mentioned that, like, they don't have a one or a two receiver, right? So, like, right. If you get a two receiver and a draft yeah. pick, like, and then you can hopefully draft a one, right? Like, yeah. things can start to add up very quickly. But anyway, they were not the worst team in the division, as bleak as the outlook may be. The worst team in the division might have a fan favorite of sorts in Dan Campbell. The Detroit Lions finished the season at 3-13-1. They hold on that one. I'm sure that's one's really important in Detroit, but 3-13-1, famously traded away Matt Stafford about a little bit earlier than this time a year ago, and then went on to watch him win a Super Bowl. Talk to me, I guess I would say, as a Packers fan, but everyone's looking at the Lions, I think, seeing some of the same things. Where do you think their grade will be at the end of the season?
I'll give them a C+. I think there is optimism in Detroit. They're still not going to be good. I think that I've saw their win total at 6.5, and I went under that. So I think they get more wins than last season, but you're looking at like 5 wins maybe. But I think the future's bright. You get them a quarterback. I don't think Jeff Goff is the guy. You find them a quarterback that they could get. If they get number one or number two in the draft this year, there's quarterback sitting there. So then you're talking about a future there. They drafted a future receiver who probably won't play this year, or at least won't play for a while, in Jamison Williams. He's going to be a stud when he's healthy, though. They've got some other pieces there that are really good in the run game, in the pass game. They've started to upgrade their offensive line through draft and free agency. The defense is getting better. And Dan Campbell, I mean, when they hired Dan Campbell, first of all, I said, what in the world are they doing? But the team rallied. I mean, they love Dan Campbell. And if the team likes him, a lot of good things can happen. So will they ever win a Super Bowl with Dan Campbell? I would say no. But I think they can become respectable again with Dan Campbell. But this year is still going to be another rough year. But they need to tank this year. They need to get number one or number two and go out and get a quarterback like a Bryce Young and really plan for the future.
Well, you mentioned Bryce Young. It's interesting that, like, if Jared Goff had any interest in job security, he's the only person on the roster trying to win games. Right. They have a lot of rookies across the board. In the first round, I guess second overall, that went Aiden Hutchinson from nearby Michigan. And then at the 12th pick, they want the receiver. Do you know off the top of your head, is Jamison Williams going to see the field this year? Can we expect anything out of him? And then I want to get into Hutchinson and the defense a little bit.
From what I understand, if we see him, it'll be late in the year. I'm not sure when that would be. He's definitely not going to be ready early in the season.
And I guess I mostly ask about that because if it gets to be, you know, October and they hadn't won yet and they're like, we could bring him back. It's like, why? Why not just make sure he's healthy and get him a good quarterback in the draft? Like, you know, go get him. The Ohio State kid's name is CJ Stroud, right? Go get Bryce Young, or go get. I've seen some people talk about, you're a Kentucky guy. Like, people talking about Will Levi, right? Like,
Will Levis. And no, listen, I know I'm from Kentucky. I know you know me as Big Blue Nation. I'm not a Kentucky football guy, never have been. I grew up in Tennessee. I was a Tennessee football fan, a Kentucky basketball fan, because I didn't know Tennessee had a men's basketball team. So I cheered for Kentucky basketball and Tennessee football, and that's been my whole life. So Will Levis is a fine quarterback for college football. I don't think he's going to be a good pro football quarterback. So he will not go top two.
Completely. And I think what's interesting is that, like, this is not a 2023 draft podcast. I think that someone will take him in the top 10. I just don't know that they're going to be happy with it. Anyway, they can go get a quarterback if they tank, right?
Yeah.
On the defensive side of the ball, again, Aiden Hutchinson was a top-tier prospect. People were looking at him as maybe one of the number one overall guy for a minute there. He fell to them at two. Defensively, maybe it's because I see Dan Campbell, I think, like, I want to run through a wall, and that feels like tackling someone. Defensively, do they have any hope of being better? I mean, they might not score a lot of points, but can they keep them games in a low scoring, close kind of atmosphere?
I think a lot of it falls onto their defensive backs. Jeff Okuda has not been what they hoped he would be yet. He still has a chance to be that. Right now, they don't even have him listed as a starter. He's a backup cornerback. So they need guys to step up and play. I love Aiden Hutchinson. I thought it was great that I thought it was good for Detroit that he was there. I thought he should have been the number one overall pick personally. They've got a lot of veterans on the defense, not a whole lot of young guys that are going to play a whole lot this year. So they seem to be building offensively more so than defensively. And I think they can get by with what they got. They did get a Kentucky guy as well, Josh Pascal, in the draft. He's going to be serviceable for years to come. I don't know that he'll ever be a star, but he's a good player. Kentucky has put out some really good defensive players in recent years. It's just a matter of playing hard, right? I mean, how much does it work? And I mean, you're a coach. I mean, there are guys that you look at and go, man, if they didn't play hard, they wouldn't even be on this team. But they do play hard, and because they play hard, they take care of opportunities and things, good things happen. So you play together and you play hard, a lot of good things can come from. And they do have good coaching, not just with their head coach, but their defensive coordinator. They've got good coaching. So they're going to be, again, I think they'll be respectable. I mean, last year, I think they lost, I don't remember. It was like five games maybe by one score. They had a bunch of close games. And so, I mean, I think this is a team that can be respectable, especially if they can get a different quarterback. Because, I mean, they got great running backs. I love their top two running backs. They've got good receivers, good tight end, decent offensive line. And, you know, average to above average defensive players that can turn into, you know, something special at some point in time. So, again, respectable in Detroit standards is, you know, five wins. So I think they're that.
Fair enough. I got to say that, like, their schedule kind of looks tough out the gate, and that may shift just who gets to play and who doesn't. My last question on the division, though, Vince, is do you think it's a one or two or crazy world three playoff team kind of division?
It's a two playoff division. I think Green Bay is in that 12 to 13 wins. I think Minnesota is in 10 to 11 wins, and that could flip-flop. So, I mean, those two teams should be playoff teams. I think they will be playoff teams.
Gotcha. Well, we'll come back, and if something crazy happens, if the Lions win 10 games, we may come back and talk to you about recapping how our grades went wrong. But, Vince, you do a lot of things at Belly Up, so I want to give you a minute to tell people where can they find you and all the stuff you're doing and all the recording you're doing.
Yeah, so Sundays, I'm on Belly Up Fantasy Baseball Live. We air at 8 o'clock on Belly Up TV and Belly Up Fantasy Twitter and Facebook and all that good stuff where we cover. And we're winding down to the end of the fantasy baseball year. So tune into that. I co-host that with Kevin Wilson, who I just beat in our fantasy baseball league this week as well. Then I've got my show, the Sports Stove Podcast. Right now we're airing two times a week, but we're going to go three times a week as the football season gets started. My dad will join me for two of those episodes as we preview and review college football and pro football each week. And we're going through college or pro football divisions right now, going through all those. And we do fantasy rankings as well. And then I have a once a week episode where I cover Eastern Kentucky University. And so we're diving into the football season right now and have athletes and coaches on each week. And doing a lot with EKU this year, doing a tailgate show and some different things going on too. So big supporter of the EKU program, and really pleased with what they're doing, especially in football and basketball. Phenomenal coaching staffs and good teams as well. So then I'm on social media at Sports Stove, Twitter and Instagram as well.
Again, that's a lot of different things to take in, but you want fantasy, he's got it. You want football season, he's got it. You want small school, mid-major college football, mid-major college basketball, mid-major softball, whatever the story is, yeah. Vince is finding it when it comes to EKU. So all kinds of stuff going on there. Thank you so much for coming on today, Vince. I know you're a busy, busy man, but appreciate you stopping by.
Hey, thanks, Parker. I appreciate it. Go Pack, go.
Okay, Parker, so the thesis statement for this commercial is James Harden has the best beard in sports. What do you think about that thesis statement?
Oh, I give it an A. You know, as a Houston guy, we seem to have an affinity for our beards between guys like him, Dallas Keuchel, lots of big beards in the Houston area. What do you think about the thesis?
So I'm a Jets fan, and I absolutely love the beard that Ryan Fitzpatrick has. So maybe I would give Ryan Fitzpatrick the nod over James Harden. But you're talking to a couple of bearded teachers, and we know a thing or two about making sure that you maintain that mane. So check out the Beard Struggle. The Beard Struggle, they make oils, they make balms. They even have this heated comb to make sure that you get your beard straight so that you're looking fresh.
I know I've really enjoyed using the oil they make for my quarantine beard of sorts. It's nice and long these days, but it'll keep it nice and healthy and hydrated. And if you're listening to our show, you can use FN Sports 15 and get 15% off your oils, your balms, your shampoos, conditioners, whatever you need to use to keep your beard looking healthy.
Absolutely. Check out The Beard Struggle at TheBeardStruggle.com. Whether you're just starting to grow or you have a luscious mane already, The Beard Struggle's got all the products that you need. The Beard Struggle. Feast your face.
Friends, do you feel like you got a better handle on the NFC North now thanks to Vince? Thanks again to Vince Dove for coming on today and talking to us all about the NFC North and his Green Bay Packers. After hearing him talk about the division, I guess it's easy to brag on the Packers when you have that kind of a division around you. Again, you can find him at the Sports Stove Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. You can find this podcast and all social media platforms on Instagram. We're at F_N_sports. That's at F_N_sports. And on Twitter, we're at FNSports2. That's FINSPRTS. Number two, all one word. On both of the social media handles, we go to the link tree in the bio. From link tree, we'll get to all of our sponsors, including Yeti, MyBookie, The Beard Struggle, and InTheClutch.com. We get all your t-shirts and stuff for your teams and other fandoms. Also on that link tree, we'll get to our merch store. We have different t-shirts, tanks, hoodies, mugs, caps, all kinds of things to rep the show, and each item donates to various charities, so make sure you go check it out. Help out great causes and support the show. If you're looking for me and my stuff on social media, you can find me at Painsworth512. That's PAINSWORTH512 on Instagram and Twitter. I was tweeting about things that I'm writing, things that I'm recording, other shows I've been on. I'm also between with the Rockets, the Texas Longhorns, a bunch of losses on sneakers, and those kinds of things. So if you enjoy interacting with that, make sure you find me on Twitter. If you're looking for a way to support the show for free, make sure you hit like, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, give us a great review, do all wonderful things to help with the podcast, and whatever you do when it comes to sports, don't flunk with us. Later, guys.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
When Shopify says you can sell anywhere, oh, they mean it. Woo, hold up. Just got a new sale. Order fulfilled and shipped. Inventory level's good. Whoa, Shopify doesn't mind if you're at sea level. Or on top of the world. You can run and grow your business anywhere. Climbing mountains is never easy, but at least Shopify gives me all the tools I need for my business to hit new beats.
Whether you're selling carabiners or crop tops, start selling with Shopify today and join the platform simplifying commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. We've built the platform so you can keep climbing and grow your business to new heights.
With Shopify, you really can sell to anyone from anywhere.
This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Start selling online today. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. 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 Internet connection required. Not available on mountaintops or seafloors.